Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer. I am in the Los Angeles area. Four-game series, which began yesterday as we take this on Friday. Happy Independence Day to you, Jay Posner, my boss, sports editor of the Union Tribune.
Kevin, same to you. And I hope that you and everyone else out there listening had a better Independence Day and a better Independence Week than the Padres have had, because it's not been pretty since basically Sunday afternoon in the eighth inning is kind of when it all turned. We talked about that on Monday, where kind of a soft run allowed, couldn't get a runner in on the Margot double play, lost in extra innings, and then what no one expected was to get swept by the Giants here in San Diego during the week. I think what everyone expected was a loss last night, but there was a bright spot. I mean, we have a couple bright spots to point out, and one of them was the guy on the mound last night. He was wearing a different number than he was a year ago, down to 29, looking like he belonged. And Denelson Lamet looked like he belonged. I mean, it was hard not to be impressed with how Lamet pitched, at least seeing him on TV. You were there. What'd you see?
Absolutely. I mean, and you know what struck me before we talk about Lamet was the circumstance. And last year, I think most of us bought into, look, they're not going to contend in 2018. And it's about growth. And so you were in the midst of all these losses. You were looking for things to, you know, either show how far away they were, or maybe, you know, this guy or these groups of guys or this pitcher were making advancements that could, you know, help them in the future. And that was like, that was a regular occurrence. For the first time last night, they got beat 5-1. They lose all the time at Dodger Stadium. It just
as do most teams this year, where yeah. The Dodgers are 37-9. But yeah,
unbelievable. It's almost unfair.
Right.
The Dodgers are in relation to the National League. We'll talk about the World Series another time. But last night was the first one that just had that feel. Like, okay, you know what? They're in a rough patch right now. It might be slipping away from them here as the first half unfolds. They've lost five straight, and, you know, there's things that aren't going well. When, you know, Manny and Eric Hosmer don't hit, well, you know, they have troubles right now. But Denelson Lamet, and it was, he went five innings. That's what they were going to have him go. He is throwing harder. He's throwing sharper. He looks really good out there. He did, especially for four innings. He got in the fifth inning. There might have been some fatigue. There also were guys on base, really, for the first time. And he kind of, you know, didn't respond well. That's a part of having not pitched in a major league game since September of 2017. But the guy, he was throwing more strikes than ever, and he was doing that, a guy who was struggling throwing strikes at times. Remember, he's only had a rookie season. He was doing that while geeked up because he was so excited to be back. So, look, there's no doubt that last night was a positive on that level.
No, I agree. And we've talked throughout this season about, you know, Lamet's coming at the second half of this year. Garrett Richards, you know, they paid him $15 million, I think, for this year and next year. He may pitch in September, but even if he doesn't, you've got these two guys, Lamet and Richards. And, of course, there's always going to be injury questions about them or basically any pitchers. But if you could get Lamet and Garrett Richards in this rotation at the start of next year, and, you know, you throw in Chris Paddock and then some combination of any of these other guys that we've all talked about, starting with Lucchesi and Lauer, but, you know, some of the younger guys. I mean, I don't know
if Mackenzie
Gore will be ready at the very start of the season, but
I believe so.
But at some point, I'd like to see him. If he is, I'd like to see him somewhere other than Lake Elsinore the next couple months. I would assume
he's
we're going
to
see that.
He's about to go up to Double A.
Right. I was going to say, I would think we'd see that after the Futures game. So, but anyway, it's a positive sign for the future of the Padres when you see a guy like Lamet go out there. Again, it's one game, but he was facing a very good team. He looked good. A couple mistakes, couple control issues. Thought it was interesting that they gave him a really long leash in the fifth inning.
Yeah.
It would have been very easy to do what a lot of people, I'm sure, well, I know because I saw it on Twitter, but I'm sure even people who weren't on Twitter were like, look, it's time to get this guy out of here. But the Padres decided they wanted to see what Lamet could do under some stress. And, you know, by all rights, he should have been out of the inning after the hit batter was unfortunate on on Peterson, but he should have been out of the inning when on the fly ball to left field. I mean, Hunter Renfroe should throw that guy out at home plate. So if that's the case, it's two runs instead of three. But regardless, he got Justin Turner out, got out of it, and then, you know, left the game at that point after five full innings, and probably felt pretty good about the way that he felt, and I'm guessing the Padres felt pretty good about what they saw, given that it was his first big league start in almost 2 years. I mean, it's easy to forget that, but he's someone that definitely looking forward to seeing over the second half of the season. You know, wherever he slots into the rotation, I would assume 5-6 innings will be what we see from him most of the time.
Yeah, 85 pitches or so, and the fact is the guy strikes out a lot of batters, so he's, you know, sometimes going to get up. What was he hitting in the 70s? And that's about where they were going to take him out last night. You know, there are times that Andy Green isn't perfect. There are times also where the rest of us kind of use this dangerous thing in baseball where we know a lot about the game, right? But we don't know everything that the Padres know. And right. They weren't going to leave the Nelson Lamet in. I mean, his health above all. So if they were leaving him in, there was a reason. Like, you just got to trust that. Not only do they want to see what he can do, they believe he can do that. And I'm not saying that, you know, Logan Allen would have come in and hung a slider, that Cody Bellinger would have hit for his 30th home run had he come in to face him in the fifth. But that's what happened in the sixth.
Right.
And, you know, Andy Green, who generally finds a way, he's not lying, but he finds a way to tell a truth that, you know, maybe isn't the absolute truth about his team. Last night, flat out said, Denelson Lamet was our best pitcher in that situation. He is the guy who had the stuff to get us out of that situation in the fifth.
Yeah, I mean,
it's like, come on.
Right. I think that's part of what, you know, I got into a discussion with someone last night who said, you know, he leaves guys in too long. And the one, and I said, that's interesting because a lot of people say he takes guys out too early. But the one thing about that is sometimes, and I should have made this point, I thought of it later and didn't want to get back into it, but sometimes the guy out there is still the best option because this bullpen, I mean, and Logan Allen, look, hasn't been part of the bullpen all year, but he seemed to fit right in last night with the way things have gone for this bullpen. Sometimes that's the best guy. Now, you know, you and I texted the other night, did not understand why Brad Wick was in the game in the fifth inning, certainly didn't understand why he was allowed to pitch to a second batter. It seemed to make more sense to get Perdomo in at that point. And look, Perdomo's been great all season, you know, and he had a bad inning. He got some bad luck. Two things that you almost never see. One, you never see the idea that a guy calls time out, the umpire doesn't give it to him, and Perdomo just kind of lobs it in there. And that ball could have landed anywhere. And of course, it lands right on the guy, the foot of the
Didn't he just hit him? It landed on his foot.
Right. So it's just the most bizarre thing you could see. Then a fly ball. Look, everybody's blaming Will Myers. That's a really difficult time to play center field. It's not an excuse. It's just a fact. The sky gets gray there. The ball is pretty gray as rubbed up as it is. And sometimes you just can't see the ball. That had nothing to do with Will Myers being a bad center fielder. Look, he's not a great center fielder. We know that. But the next ball that was hit to him was a line drive, and he made a nice play on it. So he obviously saw it. It makes a big difference when you can see what you're chasing. That was a very unfortunate time. Maybe Perdomo could have come out one batter earlier in that game. I don't know. But difference between 6-4 and 7-4. But who are they bringing in is the issue. And now, of course, that game, Stammen and Wingenter and Robbie Erlin come out and throw three perfect innings. But, you know, do you know that's going to happen? I mean, those guys have all been disasters at times during the season.
And Perdomo hadn't given up a run in like 15 games.
Right. So he was having a little bit of a rough inning. But again, maybe at that point, he's your best guy. I in no way would I defend what happened with Brad Wick in that inning. But but Perdomo, I will certainly understand why he was, why he was out there. And I understand why Lamet was out there last night as well. And again, I think that inning turned out about as well as they could have expected. As I said, a defensive play could have bailed him out of one run. But I think what you said about the idea of we know a lot about baseball and we know a lot about the Padres, but we don't know everything there is to know. And that doesn't mean that Andy Green always makes the right decision.
No.
Or the front office always makes the right decision, because they certainly don't. And the results will show that. But a lot of times they have a reason for that that we're not aware of as we're watching the game.
I want to just to wrap that one up. You talked about it was funny that a lot of people say, you know, he takes him out too early, he takes him out too late. We talk about, you know, Lamet and people think he took him out too late. You know, I'm pretty sure that the Padres, among the self-analysis they do, felt like possibly in that game that we were talking about on Wednesday, they could have left Cal Quantrill in. You know, he was out because he's a young guy who is, you know, just came up to the majors, is, had pitched out of the bullpen a couple times, was making his first start. And it was like, you know, he was still, the velocity was good. He was still strong. He'd gotten an out there in the fifth inning. And you know what? It was time to take him out. And I don't think that the Padres felt like that inning was handled well, managed well, whatever. But the fact is, like, it wasn't just about Brad Wick or Perdomo. It's like, you know, they have so many considerations. One thing I premise that Andy Green, AJ Preller, they all operate under is every single time one of those young starters is out there, their health is paramount at this point. All right. And so, you know what? Oh, man, do I leave Cal Quantrill in? If I leave him in five pitches too long and he comes in tomorrow and he says that he's a little, you know, feeling a little achy there in that surgically repaired elbow, I just undid 3 years.
Right.
Handling this guy correctly. There will come a point where the reins are off these guys. That point is not 2019 in July.
Well, no, and certainly not with guys like Quantrill and Paddock, and we're going to see it again with Lamet as we go mm-hmm. forward. But I think that's true. Anyone who's had any sort of arm issue, they've made it clear all along that this year is not the year to start pushing guys. Now, I think we should get into the overall picture of things. I mean, it's funny because, you know, like 5 days ago, the Padres were 42-40 and there was playoff talk and all this other thing. And I sent you a text message as I sometimes do, no doubt, because, you know, you have nothing else to do other than worry about my text messages. Mm-hmm. But one of the things I sent you, this was last Saturday night when they were 42-40. And we didn't get to it on Monday, but I said something for us to discuss amid playoff hysteria. Padres still have 14 games left against the Dodgers, 10 against the Rockies, 7 against the Cubs, 4 at the Brewers, 3 each against the Rays and the Red Sox. That's over half the games that they have left are against those teams, who are all very good teams. I know they beat the Brewers 3 straight, but still, that was also here. And then every game in September, after the 1st of September, I think September 1, they play the Giants. But every game after that is against a potential playoff team. And that includes 9 against Arizona. I don't know if Arizona is going to be in contention or not. But the other idea is, with the pitching staff that they have, is this really going to be something that they can contend? Look at the guys they're pitching this week. Logan Allen started Monday, his third career start. Matt Strom started Tuesday. This experiment doesn't seem to be working very well. I know we're both surprised by that, but you got to admit, it has. After the first 8 or 10 starts, Strom has not been very good. It looks like he's headed back to the bullpen. Quantrill Wednesday night making his 7th start. Lamet coming off Tommy John surgery. Paddock is a rookie, you know, under some restrictions. And then you've got the veterans, the second-year guys, you know, Lauer and Lucchesi. So that's 7 guys that you can choose from in terms of starters. But the idea that you're going to roll out some combination of those 7 guys and you're going to go, let's say, 46-34, which is at that point what they would have needed to do to get to 88 wins. And even I don't even know if 88 wins is going to be the idea or not. But the idea that that was a legitimate thought, it just I'm not sure where I should go with that other than say that's not a legitimate thought that this team is going to suddenly go 46-34. Now, didn't expect them to lose 5 straight. You know, they're at 42-45 right now. There's 10 teams in the National League that have between 41-45 losses. So the Padres are still included in that group, but they have the second worst run differential out of that group. Only the Pirates, and we've seen enough of the Pirates. Only the Pirates are worse. I mean, here, I'll just throw one more thing at you, Kevin, then you come in. But Arizona is 43-45. They're a half game ahead of the Padres. Their run differential is plus 41. I mean, they are 81 runs better than the Padres. right now with basically the same record. If you're going to be optimistic about a team sort of breaking out of that pack at 43-45 or 42-45, it's going to be more Arizona, you know, than it is a team that's minus 40. Padres are 18-9 in one-run games. That's a big part of how they've managed to win this many games. The only team in baseball with a better percentage in one-run games is Minnesota, which is 14-6. So anyway, that's what I mentioned to you. I did not expect it to all fall apart quickly like this, but at some point, as we've said all year, I don't believe this is a playoff team or ever should have been considered to have playoff dreams or anything like that. It's one thing for the players to think of it,
yes.
But we need to be realistic about this. The Padres are not going to jump up 20 to 25 wins from last year. They didn't improve that much in terms of their roster.
Their pitching would have had to, Matt Strom would have had to continue like he did for those eight starts, you know, and as you said, that experiment was a valiant experiment and on all sides, right? You had to, this was the time you had to see, and that's what, you know, we knew that, like, we're going to find out. So he's going back to the bullpen where he's been very good. And you didn't even mention the bullpen in your little soliloquy there, which was, you know, spot on really. And it's kind of what we've been saying all along. But it's reached this tipping point of, hey, you know, it went on for a long time. And by no means in my daily coverage am I going to write this team off and switch back to developmental mode, considering where they are in the standings, considering that they, every, you know, season that passes, there needs to be a higher standard and all that. And we'll do the daily autopsy of this team. But your big picture analysis there, I think, was kind of right on. It's kind of what we thought all along. It's been a lot more fun, hasn't it, to do a podcast talking about results than about, well, you know, Joey Lucchese went 5 1/3 and, you know, he had some bright spots and,
right.
You know, that just was no fun for any of us. Even me, I loved watching bad baseball, but by August, man, I was pretty worn down. Has been a lot better.
Right. I mean, I think the hope this year, at least kind of how I looked at it, was for the Padres to stay relevant as long as they could. They've already stayed relevant longer this year than at any time in the past few years. I mean, this is the first time they had a winning record at the halfway point, since 2010. Hopefully things get straightened out a little bit for them at the break. I mean, it's going to be tough the next 3 days going against the Dodgers. They do have, you know, Lauer, Paddock, and Lucchese to pitch, so they probably have their best guys that are going. Those are the only three guys that as starters this year have adjusted ERAs of league average or better. Lauer's right at the average. Lucchese a little better, Paddock quite a bit better. The rest of the starters have not been good. The bullpen, you know, Kirby Yates has been amazing, deserves to be in Cleveland next week. Perdomo's been fantastic until Wednesday. Stammen and Wingenter have had their moments. I mean, their numbers are okay, but as we've seen in recent weeks, they haven't always been great, and the rest have not been good at all. I mean, the bullpen ERA is almost 5. I think the staff ERA is about 6 over the last month or so. The pitching has just not been good enough to say that this is a team that you can think, okay, over the next, you know, 75 games or whatever it is going to be in position to contend against some really good teams.
Well, here we are at the break. And there are going to be, I think, I don't know if you want to call them massive, there's going to be some pretty big shakeups. And speaking of Perdomo, you know, he's not a part of this team in the future. You know what he is? He's a trade piece right now. So if you want to look at last night, and the real disaster of last night is that, you know, maybe his trade value fluctuated because the Padres believe they're better than Luis Perdomo in their bullpen, and they certainly aren't giving him another shot as a starter.
Right. So, although I would question that at this point. Just based on what I've seen the last few games. Now, we'll see more. I mean, I'm assuming we're going to see guys like Munoz and McGill, yes, and other guys who have pitched well in the minors this year. We'll see what, you know, we'll see what they do. But I don't know that the Padres have a lot of pieces at this point in their bullpen. But again, if you can flip guys like that,
and flip a Perdomo,
right, and get
as a
somebody
part of something.
Yeah. Now, yep. What about Kirby? Now, what about, and we'll get into this more after the break, but what about, where do things stand with Kirby Yates? He's got, I think, one more year where yes. he's arbitration eligible.
It's a big deal.
He's 33 years old. 32. So he'd be 33 next year. So the year after that, are you going to give a 34-year-old reliever a free agent contract of some, you know, a big contract of some sort? It's hard to see that. So do you flip Yates now? Do you bring him back next year because you think you might contend and then see where you stand? I think it's going to be interesting. Where do you think they are on Kirby Yates? And again, I don't know what you can get for him. Are you going to get your center fielder of the future for Kirby Yates? It's not going to be somebody who's probably in the big leagues now or even in AAA.
Let's start big picture here. It's going to take something special to get a guy like Kirby Yates, who has a year left, who at 32, you know, you would at least expect that next year when you're contending, the impression that I have is Kirby Yates not going to be traded unless someone really gets him. And it would have to probably be as a part of a package that includes another prospect that another team is high on that the Padres say, okay, you know what? This isn't a guy we believe is a championship piece, right?
Right.
So that, I don't see Kirby Yates being moved. That said, you know, he'll probably be gone the day after the All-Star break because, there is some AAA center fielder that AJ Preller believes is going to be there. I don't see any gigantic trades, but I do see a few. If they can move a Perdomo for somebody who needs a bullpen piece, and still, it's not going to be somebody we're like, ooh, wow, that made the Padres better right now. So I don't see it like that. There isn't the Brad Hand situation, which was pretty obvious last year. So we'll talk about that after the break. And I believe, by the way, it'll be Denelson Lamet on that Friday after the break. So that'll be fun. That's about it, Jay, for me. I mean, I'm going to go watch Kershaw, Maeda, and Stripling against the three pitchers for the Padres that you mentioned. And I think there's still a lot for the Padres to learn over the next 3 days about how far away they might be.
Oh, absolutely. And look, there's nothing – I mean, I don't think anybody's going to run to Vegas to bet on this. But, you know, they are playing games. You don't know exactly what's going to happen. The Padres could win the next three games. We could come back next week during the All-Star break, and we'd be talking about a team that's 45-45. Is that likely? Of course not. But, you know, it wasn't likely they were going to get swept by the Giants either, although this is even more unlikely than that. But, yeah, anyway, it'll be a good weekend. Always fun to see the atmosphere there should be fun. I'm sure a lot of Padre fans will be up there for the weekend as well, and we will come back. We'll have to find a schedule and do a podcast next week. I know you've got a couple days off. I've got a couple days off after that, but we will find a time to do one of these podcasts. Maybe Wednesday might be a good day, but certainly before the second half starts. And if something big happens, then we'll effort to do this even quicker. But until then, hope everybody has a great weekend, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you.